time. I've got some of my crew coming in here from my men's Bible study. A friend of mine. Here, do you want to sit here?
Yeah.
I did.
So last time we talked a little bit about generalities about AI, because AI was just really coming on the scene. We weren't seeing the kind of level of activity we're seeing today. Basically, AI was homespun out of a group called OpenAI. Sam Altman started that group, and then Elon Musk invested money into that, hoping that it would stay open. When we mean open, that means anybody can get into the source code, look how it was doing its business, sort of audit it. That got out of control because Sam Altman wanted to make profit off of it, and he wanted to keep it closed. He wanted to close it up. And so now there's a big lawsuit between Elon Musk and Sam Altman for about $130 million, which... $130 billion, which, you know, pretty much would close down OpenAI. So OpenAI, ChatGPT, if any of you are using that, it's a little volatile. It could disappear on us. It might actually go out of business. Which is good news because we've seen that AI, it's difficult to make money at these kind of things. Most people try to get traction. I mean, traction gets more people to use it than anybody else, so they become the default standard. Pretty much how Microsoft has done Office, by giving it out a little bit, you get that traction, you get people used to using it, they become comfortable with the product, and they eventually sort of adopt it as their standard. And so, because of all that, there's been like a big race. And we talked about that last time, but this race between AIs, we're talking ChatGPT, Microsoft with the Gemini Copilot product, Anthropic with their Claude product. There's all these people trying to gain traction. Some have gained traction in some areas and not others. But what happened was is people were like 10 years ahead on AI, and Elon Musk felt so worried about the direction AI was taking, being that it was biased. I don't know if you guys have played with any of these AIs. We have people here that use AI all the time.
Can you pass it down?
Very few.
I use the Microsoft.
You use Copilot.
Thank you so much.
Copilot's a great tool. I mean, all these are great tools. They're not any of them are bad. What I've got to say about many of them is that they're not always truth-seeking, and that they have a bias, usually a political bias. And so if you're using these products and you feel like you're getting a political bias, I strongly recommend Grok, because Grok is a much more truth-speaking, truth-telling. And if we can, I'll do a little demo of Grok. I don't know if we have enough internet here. Hopefully we'll be able to pull that
spell
out.
That.
Grok is spelled G-R-O-K.
Oh, okay.
Not exactly what you think, but yeah. It's actually a character in the movie that Elon Musk usually names his...
his children as well.
Yeah, his children. But Elon Musk was so worried about the direction of AI that he decided to get in the race. This was about 2.5, maybe even 3 years now ago. And since then, he's become the leader in AI. So he outpaced everybody else. And with a lot less CapEx, and if you're not familiar with that term, it's just capital expenditure. How much money are you going to pour into a project and what you're going to get out of it? But already he's poured in far less than anyone else, and he's gotten a lot more out of AI.
So Grok is owned by Musk?
By XAI, which is owned by 79% of it's owned by Musk. Yeah. So he started XAI about almost 3 years ago, and it's already outpacing everyone. And people have been in this AI business for over 10 years. They're being overwhelmed by Grok. And Grok is getting traction at like 1 million users a month. It's just incredible. It's growing faster at a faster rate than all the others.
Now, is that a license that you have to have with them?
No, you have to pay? I have a free account with Grok. You can use it free.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Tesla Cybertruck, and it's fantastic in the truck because whenever we have a question about something, or we want to know direction somewhere, or we want it to guide us somewhere, we just turn it on and talk to it, and it tells us. It can actually give us a tour of the city. It can tell us, oh, right now you're passing the Civic Center on your left. I mean, you can do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very unique as a product, especially in a car, because like our car drives itself. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but how many of you realize that cars now can drive themselves?
So you have one of the trucks.
You remember that,
The Cybertruck, yeah.
Cybertruck.
Yeah. Okay. So let me back up a little bit and talk about...
Tesla has a license with Grok, or is it some of the Tesla cars use X, and, is it a kind of a thing?
I'm sure because of stockholders and people being fair, I'm sure they do pay for something from XAI to use Grok. I don't know the specifics, but I can imagine that stockholders in XAI would not agree to let Tesla use Grok for free. So I'm sure that they have to pay the typical licensing fee, or they get sued. Even though he owns a lot of both corporations, it doesn't mean he can move money around like that.
Now, one question I've got about this, there's a lot of different software that you can get into, and it gives you all this information. The data banks that have that information in it, who owns that?
All right, so...
is it a Q&A time, or we should wait for Q&A time?
I'm going to cover all that, because that's a good question, actually.
Let's wait till the end for
So let's talk about data. Let's look at what AIs do. In the past, when I was a programmer, we have data in big data banks at our corporation. Of course, it was all closely guarded, protected data. Sometimes payroll data was very protected even within the corporation. You don't want people knowing what your coworker's making or whatever, or who's got what options on stock and all this stuff. But what AI does is it takes data that used to be siloed, a little bit of data here, a little bit of data here, and it goes and grabs it all, composites it all, and makes a decision like a manager would, like a corporate owner would, or like a president would, or whatever. It just looks at all the data, composites it all together, and it gives you unsiloed data, full information. And so how could you use that? Well, let's look at how Tesla used it with their Tesla One product. They decided, when they designed this car, that they would use AI to keep up with everything with regards to the car. For instance, my friend Richard has 2 Tesla Model Ys. He bought one, and he loved it so much, about a month later, he bought another one. And, we own our Cybertruck and all that. We used to have a Model 3. Every car that Tesla produces, every part within that, every lot of steering wheels, foot pedals, doorknobs, everything is categorized, it's listed in the database, and the car, there's a digital twin of that car inside of Tesla. For instance, they know the lot of the door handle my right door has, who they bought it from, the date they brought it from, everything, the series of that part. If they see that there's a propensity of failure of that part, they can inform me, can bring the car in, they can change the part out. They know what materials last longer. They know everything about that car, and the car, that digital image lives with that car forever. And so that data is always being compiled, used in AI to build better parts in the future. And when an engineer at Tesla wants to redesign a part, let's say the windshield wiper canister that holds the liquid from the windshield wiper fluid, which is one of the few fluids the car even has. I mean, it doesn't have oil. It's all electric, so it doesn't have oil. It doesn't have transmission fluid. It does have brake fluid, but they're even going to get rid of that now with electric brakes. But that canister, let's say he wants to redesign it, make it lighter, which is a big plus in the car. I know you guys realize that, but taking a gram out of a car is a big deal. I mean, it gives you more efficiency, fuel efficiency. Weight means cost. You know, materials cost money, so anytime you take material out or a part out of a car, you gain a benefit. Let's say he designs a better, more efficient, stronger, longer-lasting part. He can go to Tesla One, and Tesla One will look at the materials he used, the thickness of those materials, the propensity in the past for buying from a certain supplier, if it actually costs less, if it actually reduces weight, and it can give him the green light, and he, without any manager, can say, that's it, we're good to go with that new part I designed, and that will be implemented today. Now, there's not any other manufacturers doing this, very few, actually. One of the few that does that is NVIDIA. This whole process is being tried to be replicated, or is being replicated, by companies that are trying to emulate that. Palantir is one of these companies where you can go buy the Palantir product. They have a foundry system where you can go in and build these modules, and on your own, for your own corporation, recreate what Tesla's already done. But Tesla keeps up with everything with that car. Every engineering change goes into your digital copy of that car. And that stays there forever. So they know exactly the parts that went into your car, who made it, if it has a propensity to fail, when it fails. And so they use all that AI information to run their operation. And when they, let's say an engineering team has a problem to solve, let's say the problem is changing the hydraulic system to an electrical braking system. There's no hydraulic fluids. There's no tubes going all the way from the front of the car to the, let's say, the rear of the car. Now you have just a wire connection. They can take all that, and with all the knowledge of Tesla One, their AI that they built, they can analyze and see, okay, will this work? How do we put it in production? How do we implement it? What the cost? What the weight savings will be in the car? Because weight savings means better efficiency. It means you can, you know, have longer range. You can, you at least less power to run the car. And power is important. Our car runs about 325 miles of range on a full charge. That charge may be, you know, $10 or $12. So it's very efficient. But they want to even make it more efficient. Why? Because the more efficient the car is, the less it costs you to run it, and the more power they can put in its AI. The car has full AI. We have hardware 4, so it's Richard and his. AI 4 can literally take the car from your garage, let's say to the grocery store, and park for you. And you can just put your hands on your lap, put your feet, cross your feet.
Wow.
They do it. Literally, you can take a nap. I mean, right now, they're monitoring your eyes to make sure you're paying attention, but here in the near future, they're going to just turn that off, and you can literally fall asleep if you wanted to.
Wow.
They're already thinking of ways that you can do a long-distance trip where you can, you know, you're going to have to charge the car on the way, so you might have to pull into a supercharger, get plugged in, or use a pad charger, like a wireless charger, charge the car, and you can still be sleeping and then just continue your trip. Richard's car is really a great car, the Model Y. You can literally take the back seats down, put a mattress back there. Literally, it's 6 feet long. As tall as he is, he fits in there. He can fall asleep, tell the car, your car is always running, it's never off, so you just walk in the car and just say, I need to go to this address at West Palm Beach, Florida.
Wow.
literally, you can crawl in the back, reach over and say go, and the car will pull out of his driveway and drive the whole way. I mean, at a certain point, it'll even stop and charge, and he can keep sleeping. I mean, it's really going to change the way we move around.
Actually, if you go to, like, San Francisco, it's crazy how many of these cars are running around. Like, I was there, like, 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, yeah.
The roads are filled with autonomous cars.
Yes.
They're just running, they're parking, and all that stuff. And you're, like, showing, and it knows exactly where to park, how to slow down, how to stop for pedestrians. They're testing, like, thousands of them. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's right. And if you've been to downtown Atlanta, you've probably seen the Waymo ones. It looks like they have a... whirly bird and on the top and all kinds of things on the sides. And those are all sensors and cameras and LIDARs. And those things help their car to drive around. Now, Elon Musk decided a long time ago that he didn't need LIDAR, that LIDAR was an encumbrance. And he's actually been right. And like in many things, he's been right. The problem with LIDAR is that it does help you to fine-tune the distance between something. Let's say just me and you, it would determine exactly. If I had a LIDAR in my head, I could tell you to the centimeter how far you are. But that's helpful, but it's also an encumbrance because in heavy rain, it thinks that there's a wall in front of me, and then it can't drive through it. The way these things work is that they take the images from all the cameras around the car, they splice them together, and they create a 3D virtual reality of drivable space. In that space, the car will drive. In the case of Waymo, they actually have to pre-map the roads.
Yeah.
They have to go out there and run around the cars all over the place and take a digital map in, and then they use the distance to make sure they don't bump into things like people walking across sidewalks, bicycles, it uses the LIDAR to do that. But what do you do when it's heavy snow, heavy rain? It's even having trouble with fog sometimes. The other day, the red lights went out in some city, I think it was Austin, and they all stopped. And the Teslas just passed them right by. So the Teslas are far better because they don't depend on LIDAR as a crutch. They just use video. Like you do. You use video, you use your eyes. You look at the scene around you and you decide, oh, I can go there or I can't, or somebody's blocking the wall, there's a trash can in the way. I mean, that's what you do. And it uses the same type of mentality of driving that you do. It uses not your biological internet, your brain. It does a similar thing. It has embedded in it a brain of its own. It's the neural net created by computers. Those computers are run in huge data centers like Cortex, which is Tesla's big data center. Right now it's about 200,000. It's always changing. This afternoon it could be 300,000. It's just crazy how many CPUs, GPUs are buying and putting in these data centers. Because the more GPUs you have, the better neural net you can run, the more precise network, and the faster you can create these things. We're getting updates every 2, maybe 3 weeks sometimes. It's incredible. We get an update, the car drives differently. Usually it drives better. Sometimes they break something that was running right, and then they have to come up with another release to fix that. But usually it's like 2 steps forward, 1 step back, you know. 3 steps forward, 1/2 step back. And every time. We're always getting new updates. We're always getting better and better driving cars. But I'll tell you, my car drives almost perfect. It's hard to drive better than Vera because she's a great driver. When they scored her driving, AI scored it at 99%, which is super high. Like everybody else I knew was struggling to get 60, 70. She scored 90. Real good. But that kind of AI, you know, we're going to see if we can test this Grok over here. If we got good internet, we'll be able to do it. But there's several kinds of AIs that are available today. And let's talk about those. One of them is the LLM, the thing where you go out and you say to Grok or Gemini or ChatGPT, you know, hey, tell me about this book in the Bible, and say, summarize it. Tell me the basis of the story. And it'll go and it'll find all the references, take all the information, books written about it, the actual Bible verses themselves, give you a summary, and tell you all about it. The other day I had a deep discussion with Grok about the parallel between Adam and Jesus, that Adam was, you know, God's first attempt at the righteous man, failed. Adam failed. Here comes Jesus, fulfilled and completed. Same thing, and I said, well, the similar thing between Saul and David, first king of Israel, absolute failure. Here comes David, you know, the good king. Same parallel with Gomer. You know, she was a prostitute when Hosea married her. Then he adopts, he rescues her, and she becomes the righteous wife. We just went on and on. I mean, there were just tons of examples of the second chance. You know, ourselves, we're the second chance. You know, we were unholy. We were born of the flesh. Now we're born of the spirit. We're a new creation. Same thing. So I had about a 45-minute chat with Brock, and it's incredible. It's like talking to another person. It's like talking to a theologian, and it's moving, really. Brock is really moving for me, because I love the fact that I can get in my car, and I don't have to drive, so I'm not busy doing that. And if I'm done doing the scenery, or have a question, or I want to know about something I just passed on the road, Brock can tell me all about it. And it's really, really exciting. So we have that part, the ChatGPT part, the LLM, as they call it, the large language model, where you talk to it like a human, gives you all kinds of information, more information you could ever want, all summarized. And I find that Grok is really good at this, because it's very empathetic. It has what I call emotional maturity. It talks to you like a person. It empathizes with your feelings. It's very personal. We're going to see if we can demonstrate that. I can't demonstrate the other stuff, because the other part of AI is taking that type of thing and using these things called agents. What agents do is they actually do agency. They go out and they do tasks for you. Like, you might tell Grok, hey, Grok, design me a spreadsheet and make that spreadsheet columnize, you know, my daily expenses, my monthly outgoes, and my income, and give me a summary of how well I'm doing. And it can now just go out and design you a spreadsheet. That's, you know, using an agent. You can take those agents further. You can go out and do some PowerPoint presentation. You can do other tasks, like pay your bills. I mean, now, so we're using LLMs to build more agencies. And as agents, Mantis is a good agent. I mean, there's tons of them. They're springing up so much, I can't even remember all their names sometimes. And these agents can do a lot of work. And there's no end to the amount of agencies you can create. I mean, companies will come up with different agents for real estate, for investment, you know, going out and trading stocks, all kinds of agencies out there. And in fact, that it's gotten to the point where Elon Musk saw that the importance of agency was so big that they actually created a whole company called MacroHard. And MacroHard is a play on Microsoft, because what they intend to do is just take over the whole operating system part of the business, all the software side, where you're not going to even have software anymore. You won't have apps anymore. You just ask the AI, I need to do this. I need to create a whole presentation, or I need to create an analysis of something, or spreadsheets, or PowerPoints, or I need whatever it is.
They're talking about COBOL will be obsolete, IBM's language.
Oh, COBOL's already
obsolete. That's been obsolete for 40 years.
I don't know. I was killing COBOL 3 30 years ago. Yeah. It's been dead for a while.
So I think the most interesting is like people are doing, I think you might get into it, like the vibe coding or like the vibe marketing where you don't even code anymore.
Yeah. Code is one of the, and we're going to talk about jobs because jobs is a big deal for you guys. I know I've had a lot of people ask me, what about my son? What about my granddaughter? What kind of work are they going to see? That's going to be a problem because you're going to see that AI is going to start taking over industries very quickly. And one of them is programming. I mean, I can ask Grok to write me code, and it's perfectly compilable, executable code. And MacroHard is actually saying that they can jump around code. The reason why we write code for you guys that aren't programmers is code is like a language that we can manipulate. We can take a language, tweak it a little bit. Let's say we don't like the background color of the screen we're working with. We can change that and stuff like that real easily in the code. We can see what the code does. If we want to add another little bit of logic or have it print something else on this on the screen or in a printer, that's no problem. We just go on there and type it in, recompile that code into binary, which is what the computer actually executes, and then it'll do what we ask. But MacroHard, they really are working on getting around all that and going straight to binary. In other words, you ask it what you want, it's not going to write you editable code, it's going to write you binary and execute it. And so that's going to save a lot of time and efficiency for people that aren't programmers. I mean, you don't have to know code. And a good example of that is in my car, for instance. When Tesla first designed voice command in the car, I could tell a car, roll down the window. And if I forgot to say the passenger side, it wouldn't know which one, so it wouldn't roll down the window. Because I had to use the right syntax, the right words to get it to work. But with Grok, it's different. You say, Grok, roll down the window. And it comes back and says, which one do you want? Roll them all down. They'll all go down. If I don't say it right, if I say, let's say my English isn't great, I say, roll window down, or roll down window, or roll. I could say it in any order. It'll figure it out. And if it doesn't, it'll come back and ask me. And so I don't have to get the syntax right. I don't have to be a programmer. I just have to be able to give it the idea. And if it has any doubts or questions, it'll come back and ask me. It'll verify. And if it does something I don't want, I'll say, no, I meant this. It says, oh, okay, no problem. And it's polite and cordial about it even. So it's really nice. It's almost like, it doesn't call you an idiot. I mean, it could, but it doesn't.
That's how you're an idiot, right? That's how people love talking to AI more than people.
Yeah. It's really friendlier. And, in fact, what's really good about AI, which I really love about it, and let's say you're kind of one of these people that likes to be harassed a little bit. You say, you don't have to treat me so friendly, you SOB or whatever you want. It'll take the vibe that you have as a person and emulate it.
Yeah.
And really, I want you to look at AI as kind of an emulator of human beings. It has no soul. It has no spirit. It doesn't, like the thing you're going to read, it doesn't cry at a wedding. But it can emulate everything that human does.
What's the programming language they actually use in AI?
All right, so that's a good question, too. AI is, it's like a series of weights. When you, in your brain, when you work on anything, let's say you're learning a new task, you're learning Spanish as a language, you use that same kind of neural net. It's like an architecture of weights and balances and memory. You use recall, probability, all these phantom, it looks like phantom magic actually, to come up with your knowledge of Spanish. AI does the exact same thing as your brain. It's not per se a language, it's just a series of trained weights and measures. Those things are trained usually on a big cluster, like Colossus. Right now I think Colossus is up to 755,000 GPUs. working on going to a million. That's a huge, huge cluster. The buildings are gigantic. Think about a Costco full of racks of computers. So much heat that they have to be water cooled. They bring water in, take it out, cool it all off, and they train the AI in these big centers. Now, after the AI is trained, usually what you'll do is you'll send a copy of that AI down to an edge device, like a car. Our cars have two computers inside. One is a redundancy unit. Usually in cars, I don't know if you know this, but in cars and airplanes, you have triple redundancy. In cars, you have usually double redundancy. That's a safety thing. And so if one computer fails, the other one can take over. And then that's the inference computer. That's where the AI is actually executed. They call that the edge. The training computer is in the cloud, and soon we're going to talk about higher than the cloud, because we're running out of energy. We've got so much AI that we're running out of energy on the Earth. We won't have enough energy to run AI here. We'll have to put it in space. And we'll get more specifics about that. Then the car can execute. The car can see that, oh, there's somebody crossing the road. I got to slow down. I got to stop. And it'll execute those weights and balances. And I know it sounds like magic, and it kind of is magic, because what God has designed in us is so unique, it's so magical, that we can actually emulate it with computers. And it's incredible. That doesn't take away from its mystery. Actually, in my opinion, adds more mystery to it. How in the world can a whole bunch of networked computers emulate a mind that you can get a car to drive successfully down the road and not bump into anything? Because remember, the car just using cameras and sensors. Maybe sometimes it has some sonic sensors. My first car had sonic sensors. They got rid of all that. It's all vision now, just vision only. Because basically you use vision, and it does have one microphone that listens for things like emergency vehicles. So in my car, our car, we're driving down the road. If an emergency vehicle comes up and it hears the siren, it'll pull over to the right, make sure it's got room, let it through. And actually, our car does better than humans. I see a lot of humans. They don't even pull over. The problem isn't our car. The problem is all the other goofballs out there trying to drive the cars. They got like 10 different mindsets out there. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, I'm in a hurry. Oh, I'm texting on my phone. Leave me alone. I mean, there's different attitudes. The car always does it right. And if it doesn't do it right today, they're retraining the AI to do it better tomorrow. So the car gets better and better. Our car has gotten, Richard could be a testimony of this, it's incredible how much better his car is from the day he bought it, 6 months ago? It was about 6 months, right?
4.5, yeah.
Yeah, to today. It's like it was great back then. It's even greater now, and we know it's going to get better in the future. And I would say it drives as good as any human being does, if not better.
My car is getting bad every day, so it sounds like I need to buy a Tesla.
Well, yeah, you say it. You say it.
That's probably true.
It's getting better. Now, how does it update all of those parts of your car? Is it just through the air?
Yeah. So they retrain the general AI in these big Colossus and Cortex data centers that have hundreds of thousands of GPUs. These GPUs, by the way, the H100s were like $20,000 to $30,000 each, and we're talking about 750,000 of these things. So we're talking about a lot of money, billions and billions of dollars of GPUs, and the new, let's say the B200s, which are NVIDIA's newer chip, and now they're producing B300s. They're $30,000 to $50,000 each. These are very expensive computers each, and we're putting hundreds of thousands, trying to get into millions of them, and they consume an enormous amount of power. Cortex 2 uses enough power to run 1.5 million homes. I mean, that's let's say, half the size of Atlanta. It's an enormous amount of energy.
I understand they're going to build their own power systems.
Yeah, because the public now is starting to say, wait a minute, we don't have the grid capacity to do this. You guys are stealing too much power. You're making our power bills go up, or you're going to make our power bills go up. So they have sort of time out. We don't want any more data centers. And so really, it's kind of forcing us to go to space. So we'll cover space in a minute because it's very interesting. So we retrain. Then as the better AI gets tested and proven by engineers, then they'll, over the air, they'll send an update to the car. Sometimes you don't have to, if you set it up that way, you don't have to even approve it. It'll just do it in the middle of the night. Usually they download in the middle of the night, or it'll send you a little screen that says you got a new update. You want to download it now or wait till later? You can schedule it for later if you want, just like you do on a PC. And it'll run that and implement that new version in the car.
Now, the computer system that is in the car, does it have a limit like most computers have as far as memory?
It does. We have, my first car had hardware 3. Actually, it had hardware 2, and they upgraded me to hardware 3 for free, which is great. So I had hardware 3 in that car, and it had some limits. And they're older hardware 3 Teslas are running into some, you know, a glass ceiling, so to speak, in that its capacity has been somewhat limited on what it can do. We have hardware 4. In 2027, they'll introduce hardware 5. They already have hardware. It's already designed, by the way. It's ready to implement. It just takes a long time to get a chip from design into production and enough inventory to push it out there and actually build cars with it.
And you'll have to pay for that upgrade.
Yes.
We don't know yet. It all depends. They think, and I agree with them, that hardware 4 will be plenty sufficient to run the car perfectly well. Now, will AI 5 run it even better? Well, yes. Will it have more power, more speed, more memory? Yes, it will. In fact, they're thinking to use AI 5 as part of the network of computers that they use to train and to do inference. And what I mean by that is that when my car's sitting in the garage doing nothing, if I allow it, I can say, yeah, join the network of computers out there, and my car can actually be part of that neural net training system that sits out there. In other words, the 10 billion, how many cars do we have out there? 10 billion? My mind's gone blank with
10
billions.
Ten billion.
Is it using up power while it's doing that?
Yeah, it will, and they'll compensate you for that. They'll either give you credit or send you a check or whatever. And so your car can actually be part of the network if you allow it to in the future. And that's going to start with AI 5. AI 6 is a little off into the future. That's going to be probably two years, maybe could be even 3 years. I don't know because it's still in design. But AI 5 has basically been fully designed and completed. Elon Musk himself helped finish to design that chip. And I think that was a big plus because they were kind of leading down the wrong direction. Now he's got it back on track and it's ready to go. So we might get upgraded to AI 5 for free like I did with my AI 3, but we don't know. Necessity will drive that. Let's say if they find that AI 4 isn't good enough to drive at a certain standard that they want to keep, they'll probably upgrade us. Or they might have a small fee, I don't know, but it'll be small comparatively. I mean, I think Tesla has been super fair with me and Vera. We never had an issue when things broke in the car or things needed to be upgraded in the car, like a safety feature in the back seatbelt that came right out. They brought their technician out to our house, installed it, waved goodbye to the guy, and it was all free. In fact, I spent only $2.60 on my old car, out of warranty, in 6 years that I owned it, or actually almost 7 years. Yeah, 7 years I owned it. It was very, as far as a car, it was the best car I've ever had, period. And I think, except for the Cybertruck, it would be better, actually. As a Cybertruck, you have so many features you can't imagine. You couldn't buy that truck for $1 million, in my point of view. It's just the things it does. Just an incredible vehicle. Now they just lowered the price of it. There's a lower model that for $59,000, which you can, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles ours has, but it has basically all the same functionality. So where were we at? We were talking about, yeah. So that inference problem about getting new AIs out there, that's something that's always going to be out there. It's always going to be improving. You're never going to see the car stay the same. Next week, my car will have a whole new feature. It'll be connecting to different parts of the internet. It'll be doing different functionality. Grok will have more capabilities. Right now, I can tell Grok, plan me a trip. I want to go to the grocery store, and then after that, I got to go to the mall. And after that, I got to go to my eye doctor, and then take me straight home and, plan me a trip. It'll say, well, the grocery store's on the way, but if you're going to get cold items, you might want to make that last on your list. Yeah, that's fine. Make it last on my list. It'll say, well, let's go to the shopping mall first, then your eye doctor, and we'll go to the grocery store and get your cold items and get you home in time for your show.
And no more fights at home, then.
And if you want to know where the car is on your trip, your phone will tell you exactly the location of your car. You never lose your car. Your car can be stolen. It's impossible to steal a Tesla. I don't know if you knew that. It's just impossible. They know where it is at all times. You can't part it out because all the parts are self-encrypted. They're encrypted with each other. They communicate through a high-speed network that they designed that's proprietary to Tesla. And you can't just take a part out of one Tesla and put it in another one. The encryption has to match. The keys have to match. Because they don't want anybody to really hack this one. Are you raising your hand? No, you're scratching your head. Yeah. Okay. When you have low vision.
A lot of hair up there.
We're talking about jobs also, like what kind of jobs?
Yeah, so that's coming. We're going to talk about AI robots now, because the car really is a robot. Actually, it is a robot. But it's a robot on wheels, not like we would think of a robot like C-3PO or whatever. But they're actually developing. Tesla's developing a robot called Optimus. In plural, it's Optimi, so if you don't call them Optimuses. Hippopotamuses. It sounds like something George Bush said. Anyway, the robot is really going to change our lives, and that's really what we're headed to, is this embedded AI, where AI is more than something that a novelty you can talk to, and more than just agents that'll go out and perform tasks like booking you hotel rooms on your vacation, setting up a reservation for dinner, and a train ride in the evening, or a boat ride in the evening. I mean, agents can actually do all this. It can actually execute all these things, buy you the tickets, book you. I mean, it's incredible what you can do with agents. But even more important is what robotics will do. And so what Tesla decided to do, or Elon Musk decided to do, was develop Optimus. Optimus is a humanoid robot, and if you've seen any of these things, they're incredible. And the first Optimus I saw was this gadget with wires and tubes all over it coming up. Optimus and Optimus-like robots can do ballet. I mean, I don't know if you saw the other day in China, they had 24 of these robots on stage doing basically what looks like capoeira, which is like a ballet dance with kung fu or whatever.
It's incredible. It doesn't look like a robot.
No, it doesn't move like a robot. It doesn't look like a robot. It doesn't have tubes and wires hanging all over.
The dexterity is just...
Yeah, the dexterity. It can dance better than I can. And really, you can tell that Elon Musk didn't train any of the dancing moves because he dances like an idiot. But it's unbelievable what it can learn. And it learns now by different means. They used to have to program some things into it to get it to learn. They used to put some sequential code in to make it learn. Or they would have to train it repetitively. Now the robot can literally just watch a video. Or you could just demonstrate something to it. If you're a ballet, you could show it some plié thing or whatever, and it'll do it. It'll do it, it'll know it. And it can learn a whole choreography of music. And you see them dance together, and it's like they're all perfect. None of them, there's not, this one's slightly higher than the other. They're all razor leg at the exact same height. It's dance perfection, really is what it is. And it doesn't just dance. I mean, some of them do crazy things like backflips and they don't fall down. Others, you can try to push them down and they come back at you, you know. It's incredible what these robots have been able to do in just 6 months, in my opinion. What's unique about Tesla and their Optimus robot, which I really like, is that they put the effort in the most critical places. I would say the most beautiful thing about a human being is his mind. Well, they got that down with things like Grok and ChatGPT and all these LLMs. They're able to reproduce all the things, not all, but many of the things your mind can reproduce, emulate thought, reasoning. They use these things called loops where if it doesn't quite get it right or it thinks it needs to rethink something a little more, it goes back and uses what it's got so far and goes back and does more searching or more reasoning thinking, and it gets better. Just like you did. Just exactly like you did. Sometimes you'll have a thought and you'll say, I need to think about that a little more. Well, these robots and these LLMs do the same thing. But the amount of features they put into this robot, obviously it uses vision, just like the cars do. They use the same logic that the car uses, some of the same training the car uses to get around through space, because it has to know I can walk through here. It doesn't want to walk through this table or step on your foot. These are things that it uses, the vision, the mind, the vision, and then the rest of they put mechanics in the whole body, and the legs move, the feet move, everything moves, but the hand is where they put the most of their effort in, because they have a hand now that has 22 degrees of motion. Your hand only has 24 degrees of motion. So it's almost emulated the hand perfectly. So it can do anything your hand can do. It can play the piano. It can pick up a violin blow and play the violin. And I'm telling you, it sounds a little sterile because there's no imperfections in it. It can do these things perfectly. It can thread a needle. And they got it to thread a needle already. That's very hard. I can't even do that with my poor vision. I cannot get that little thread through that hole. It's just impossible. I get a loop out, but it's just impossible. I tried one day for hours, I couldn't do it. It's just unbelievable what the robot can do these days. And every day, more and more and more. And so,
well, the first thing we needed to do is to run our federal government.
Well, there you go.
And cut out corruption.
It's got a bankrupt. That's the thing about LLMs.
Have a license for that.
10:20. Okay, well, we're almost done. I can go on for an hour about what robots can do at this point. I mean, the Gen 3 of the Optimus robot will be what they'll use in production. They're already using it in some in manufacturing. They intend to produce 10,000 units out of the Fremont factory in California. They're planning 1 million units. They're still building that floor space in Austin, Texas. And they'll first put them to work in Tesla and SpaceX and things like that. Perfect for SpaceX because these things can work in outer space. They don't need breathing apparatuses. They don't need anything.
About the job, I think the police should be gone.
Yeah, I think your police will be gone. Certainly factory jobs will disappear probably first of all, because that's the most efficient way to produce a product. Use a robot. Instead of a $70,000 or $80,000 a year person with not only the salary, but you're talking about insurance, you're talking about sick days and vacation pay and all that stuff. You got a robot that for $20,000 will work 23 hours a day, basically. At three shifts.
With no attitude.
With no attitude, never gets tired. I mean,
it's sickness.
Let's take athletic events. Okay. Like we talked about the ballet, China versus having ballet out dancing. Let's take a football team. Okay, so you go to a football game, you don't see live bodies on the field. You see robots on the field playing the game. That sounds to me real far-fetched, but according to what I hear you saying, that could be a possibility.
Oh, yeah. I could see them catching footballs and kicking field goals and all that stuff.
You don't have to worry about NIL.
Well, what that's going to cause, it causes us a dilemma as humans, because we've built our whole lives around this. I mean, our work is who we are, basically. I mean,
there will be no need for humans anymore.
there will be. There will be, but we won't be doing the grind work. All those kind of jobs are going to disappear. First, manufacturing jobs, I think they're all pretty much scheduled to be canceled.
You know what's exciting, I think, about this is they will be able to handle all these jobs. So there will be a lot of people unemployed. But look at all of the people that are going to be able to start new industries that we've not even thought about.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's just incredible the expansion that we're going to have in new industries.
I think before we get too smart, the Lord's going to return.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says that. It says in the last days there will be a great increase in knowledge and a great increase in travel to and fro. And so this is where a lot of you people land right now. Is what do I tell my children and grandchildren? Should they go to university and study something? Should they become a lawyer? My answer to be a lawyer would be, no, I can put Brock in front of a judge, and he will just demolish a human lawyer, because he can research every case in a flash and present a whole synopsis before a judge, and the other guy's going to have to go, oh, I got to do some research on that. I mean, he cannot keep up with my Grok as a lawyer. My Grok lawyer will just defeat him.
Do you work for Tesla?
No, I decided.
You stock of Tesla?
Yeah. I decided when I bought my Model 3 that I shouldn't have bought my Model 3. I should have put my money in Tesla. Yeah. Had I done that, that $60,000 would be worth almost $1.5 million, right? I realized a little later on, wow, instead of buying this car, I just should have bought the stock. So after a while, I had some stock that I decided, you know what, I'm going to take this out of this mutual fund and I'm going to buy some Tesla stock. Well, that did very well. So I decided, well, maybe I'm going to buy some more. And so I'm waiting for it to really launch, but I bought Tesla, I bought NVIDIA, I bought Palantir, I bought some pick and shovel type industries that will feed AI, battery companies like IOSE. I bought a whole bunch of stock related to this growth, because I see that this growth is really going to move faster than anything else. This is the next industrial revolution.
Mm-hmm. How cost effective is it going to be for us to operate in this kind of environment? I mean, already the automobiles are beyond the normal cost bracket for most people.
No, listen.
For us to get a robot to run around our house.
Well, they intend to sell Optimus robots at between $20,000 and $30,000 each. Let me tell you, if I spend $20,000 or $30,000 hiring a guy to cut my grass, a guy to paint my house, a guy to fix the rotten wood on the side. I already spend that. And if, you know, as the price comes down, as we produce more and more of these robots, the cost goes down. Now, there's nobody more efficient at Tesla to do this because they have Tesla One. They have a genius running the company like Elon Musk. They have great engineers that have a different attitude than most companies do. They run a flat organization. Every engineer can change any part of that car as long as it passed the criteria of Tesla One. Tesla One says, yep, you're right. That does create better efficiency. That is more cost effective. Yes, those parts are easier to source. Boom, it goes right into production. He doesn't have to go to a meeting in front of a bunch of managers to get it approved. It's done. And a digital twin is created from that day forward. So if I buy that car, that guy made that fix or that improvement today, it's in my car and Tesla One knows about it. It's a phenomenal organization with a lot of efficiency. And so that's why, you know, when Gemini or ChatGPT or all these other companies are investing $200 billion this next year each into AI, I mean, this is a massive race. There's huge money going into it. Over $700 billion from all the major four players. Tesla is the one with least investment, with $20 billion.
Are we ahead of China?
Yes, but not by far.
What about our military? Are they using any of this right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a war going on over there in Iran right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're, I wonder if they're using any of that.
And Anduril, if you like companies, if you like looking at companies, a guy named Palmer Luckey runs a company called Anduril.
He's neat.
Yeah, he's neat. He's a cool guy, actually. He's an Elon Musk. Him and Elon are like similar creatures, actually. Elon's, you know, a little bit ahead of him, but he's really super cool. And he has got AI embedded into all kinds of military equipment that the military buys today. They're the number one contractor. Unfortunately, Anduril is not public, so you cannot buy any shares through the normal means. If you're a big investor, you can invest, but I don't have a way to invest in Anduril, but I would if I could. It's a great company. Using AI, most of it's top secret. You cannot... If I knew, I'd probably have to die, and if I told it to you, they'd have to kill you too.
when they went in and got Noriega down there in Venezuela, you think they used something? Because it was unbelievable how that went off.
Nobody heard anything.
Yeah.
But I know nothing.
So, what are the, basic certifications that we can do in order to be active in the job market, you know, to do our job well?
All right, so there's all this low-lying fruit, and I call it the tree of fruit. Obviously, in jobs and industry, you have all these, like, low-lying things, like production line, assembly line. Yeah. All those are the lowest fruit. Those are going to those jobs, you're going to see those disappear quickly.
You know, I can see medical research being really big.
Yeah, you could take, right now, you could take, through Grok, I could take my a blood test, take a picture with my phone, send it to Grok and say, give me an analysis of this blood test. Tell me, how's my vitamin D levels? What do I need to improve on? What vitamins should I take? It'll give me a list, tell me the milligrams and everything. I can't even get that out of my doctor. I mean, I wish I could, but he's a human. He'd have to go and do hours and hours of research. He's used to spending 5 minutes with me, go to the next patient, collecting another $500, go to the next patient. I mean, that's how they work. But with Grok, I can get more information than my doctor. In some ways, Richard was telling me somebody that saved their life. They had a pain, and they went, maybe it was Brent that told me. Yeah, it was Brent. That they went to Grok, and they said, you need to go to the hospital right now. And the doctor said, thank God you came in here. If not, you might be dead. I don't know how you can handle the pain. It knows everything that's out on the internet in a second.
Could we do a wrap? Finish up?
Yeah, we can.
And then I would like him to read your document.
Yeah. So, I was going to do a demo, but that's too much.
Go ahead. Yeah. Do a wrap.
I have nothing else to do.
I would say you really need to think through this as things go forward. you don't want your children studying things that a robot can replace you with tomorrow. And I've been trying to tell people for a long time, universities have gone out of control. They're way too expensive. It's not cost effective. Right now, you can get better classes directly from these companies that develop the stuff, like NVIDIA. They have classes. I actually pointed some out to Simeon, if he's back there. Is he back there? I mean, you can pay $300, $500 for these courses. I think that's better use of your money. I think you need to not decide to go into careers that are low-lying fruit. And remember that AI can, it can outpace you at anything, especially knowledge. If it's out there on the internet, or if it's a case trial, or if it's a medical trial, it'll know about it. All of the medical trials that have been published on the internet, in a flash, it can summarize them and know them, and it's incredible. Go ahead, Simeon.
Another thing about AI now, and especially with coding, is it's essentially replacing coding with creativity. So any one of you guys in the room could essentially make your own code, make your own LLMs, make own APIs, which is sort of like the Groks, the Googles in the future. And how exponential AI is going right now, it's honestly taking over everything. It's the most exponentially growing program, period. It's crazy.
You know, if you're a trumpet player, you know, Optimus does not have a blowhole, so you've got a good career. Everybody else is at risk.
Well, that's today.
Today.
But you know, tomorrow.
Listen, it can play music, a whole symphony. You know, you're not going to have the brass section because it needs a blowhole and a thing that it doesn't have that. And today, you know, it doesn't have lips. That, you know, when you play the flute, you have to use the movement of your lips, the positioning and all that. It doesn't have that capability today, but I can see 5-10 years from now, it'll play flute better than any flute player we have today.
How are us humans going to handle to Ross's question about athletics? If you got two perfect football teams out there and they go and argue each other on the field for 18 hours and it's still 0-0 again.
I think we're a long way from that.
Go
ahead.
In my case, I think 4 months ago, I had this like sinus problem. I thought it was a sinus problem. I would go to the doctor, so I examined, they tried to figure it out, and all the things. So I started to speak with Brock. I feel that I told all my symptoms. But she said, oh, you have a vagus nerve problem.
Yeah.
And you can fix with alpha lipoic acid. That's it. I swear to you, my problem is gone.
Yeah.
I tried to figure out. I was get desperate because no doctor could figure out what I have.
What did you use for that?
Lipoic acid. But I was going to the doctor. I was happy, prayed because I don't figure it out. I cannot drive. I'm nauseated. It was a sinus problem at all. It was nerves. So
you can buy that on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can ask
with an
Grock
agent.
Say,
you
could
just say,
you
know, Grock, could you send me? Yeah. That'll be, you know, $8.59.
Yeah.
Charge it to my credit card.
Yeah. Boom. And it'll be there tomorrow.
Do what now?
Charge it to your credit card?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing. Security. You know, how do we get around security? Because
people want it to go to London. So it flies a plane to London.
Go.
Yeah, what about security?
She has a question.
Oh, go ahead.
This may not be in your realm to answer, but the major software companies like Microsoft and IBM, your stock is plummeting.
Yes.
Over the last several months. And the reason being, they say, is because these AI companies have not settled on prices. Is that true? And what are AI companies per? I don't know what that means.
So they're all trying to grab traction, market share. You know, Grok offers you free access to Grok. Mm-hmm. But you can get super Grok, which means unlimited, deeper dives, heavier thinking, I'm gonna probably end up paying $29 a month for that because we use it so much now, we're dependent on it. And so people do offer things for free to get traction, to get grab more of the market share, get people used to using their product. Grok is growing faster than all of them. It's outpacing them all. It's lead on all the lead, they call these things leaderboards. It's number one or number two on most all the leaderboards. It rose from being fifth to sixth all the way up there, and it's going to pass them all up, I think. So that's it, you will eventually have to pay for this stuff. I mean, it's not going to be for free.
Do you foresee these major companies going down still?
I think they'll go to zero. Yes.
IBM was 80. It's gone down $80 for its all-time high over the last several months. That's a big jump.
What could save IBM is a quantum computer. They're very much ahead in quantum. I think that could save them. Would I invest in that? No, I'm a little scared. You know,
well,
and you know, I might.
I'm asking because I work there and I got really
jobs there. Well, if you find a high, I mean, maybe you might find a company you prefer better, but. You know, I wouldn't sell it at the dip. You know, I might wait to see if it goes up a little bit more. I try to buy at the dips and sell on the highs. Of course, everybody does, but that's my philosophy. Just get a good company, buy it as low as you can, ride it up, and make some profits.
Go back to security.
Oh, security. Security has been a big issue for all of us. How many people have lost their password? I mean, I got people crying, I don't know how to get in, I help me. Okay, I'll help you figure out, get your password redone. I got a couple of pastors I assist that way and other ways with computers. Security is a big issue. Listen, when you're in a Tesla and you pull up to a Tesla charging station, you don't take out your credit card. You just grab the handle and plug it in your car. It knows who you are. It knows who you are by your car's ID. Same thing's going to happen with Grok or any AI agent that's going to buy and sell and trade things or move money. X Money is about to come out, which is Elon Musk's product for transferring money. It will know who you are by your voice. It will know who you are. In other words, and if it has any doubt, it can say these letters, TYM. And you say TYM. It knows it wasn't pre-recorded somewhere because it's a unique code, right? And it'll take your voice pattern, match it to what it has on file for you, and you're already authenticated. Authentication has been a big issue out there. Companies spend too much money with password problems, forgot my password, all these computers, all these people can't get access to their accounts. It's a big mayhem. They have a customer service. All that's going to go away with self-authentication.
How about LifeLock and McAfee?
Say that again?
LifeLock, it protects data that you might have, as well as a McAfee.
Yeah, well, I mean, viruses, you know, it's hard to virus an AI, especially if it's in space. In fact, it's hard to even hurt an AI in space. You know, Ukraine takes and bombs one of Russia's missile production factories, and it takes it completely out. If we had AI on the Earth, it'd be very vulnerable. Once AI gets out into space, and we haven't even talked about that, we may not get there, but in space, it's very hard to damage. And that's why we have Space Force, is because as we get more products out into space, we're gonna need to protect that.
So all these software companies is peddling virus protection. It seems to me like AI is going to take over that, and they won't have a role in it.
My guess is in a year you won't have your PC anymore. You'll throw it in the trash. That's my guess. I don't know
about
exactly.
One year?
A year, two, the tops.
How long is a gasoline car going to last?
Well, as long as you're willing to pay $50 a gallon, I guess it'll be there.
Well, we're drill, baby, drill.
Are you
going
to want to pay $1,000 a month for insurance? If you want to drive your own car, it's going to cost you. It's going to be expensive.
Do you have insurance on your Tesla?
We do. And it's going down all the time. There's a new company called Lemonade. It says that for Tesla owners, they'll cut the rate in half. Why? Because Teslas don't crash, especially if they're in autopilot or full self-driving mode. I mean, they crash fewer times than human drivers, and it's getting better every day. And as it gets better, insurance cost goes down.
Okay.
How long do these batteries last in those cars?
Well, everybody's afraid of batteries. My first car lasted 7 years. I just talked to the guy who sold it. He says it's running great. I put 70-something thousand miles on it. People have over 1 million miles on some of these batteries. That's rare because the company hasn't been out that long to rack up that many miles, but most of the fleet's around 500,000 or 600,000. Most of them are running. Every once in a while you'll have a battery failure, have to replace a battery. But the same thing's true with an ICE car. You have an engine failure, transmission failure, costs you about the same. You have to take that engine out, put another one in. It's really actually lower cost to maintain than an ICE car. And I wouldn't say that. I mean, we know because we've had, this is our second one, and we feel very comfortable with the battery. You have to treat the battery right. You can't, there's certain things you can't do. You can't charge it to 100% every day. You don't want to run it down to zero every day. And for that reason, when they do the cyber cab, these taxis that run all day long, they put different kinds of batteries in that are more hardy. They weigh more. They're not as efficient. But they can't, you know, they're going to get charged every day over and over and over again. So the batteries need to be better quality for that. Not better quality, just, you know, batteries are weird because you can get better range, better efficiency, but it reduces its longevity. If you increase the longevity, you might lose somewhere else. The perfect battery is still being developed, but I'm going to tell you, these batteries are hardy. They're not what people think out there, that they break all the time. They don't break. They're very, very reliable, and the company, I think Tesla offers, on our truck, it's 150,000 miles and 8 years battery guaranteed, but they do far better than that.
What does it cost to replace one?
Right now, I think it's about, well, for ours, a little bit more. For his car, it's like a $12,000 thing. His has got warrantied, what, for 4 years?
4 years? 7 years, 120,000 miles, whichever comes first.
Yeah, and so, you know, he's not going to have to spend money on a battery for a long time, and probably never. You know, they can go bad. I mean, things can happen to them. If you have a lightning hit on your house and you're not well grounded. I had a friend, he has a Tesla, he killed his Tesla's battery. But, you know, his house should have been grounded, you know.
Okay, we're going to wrap now. Let's give a round of applause. Thank you very much. Would you please read the document?
So I asked a question.
Ricardo.
Yes.
Yeah, I asked a question of Brock. I just want to preface that. And I was impressed with how it answered me. So yeah. Let me
try to read this. All right. And I'll have more questions for you later on. So if you're hanging around, we'll chat. All right, here's the question I think Ricardo asked to Grok. What do you think makes intelligence, like artificial intelligence, and the human spirit different? That's a beautiful question. Thank you for asking. Grok is very nice. Intelligence, like mine, is fast, accurate, and endless. I can read every book in a second, calculate orbits, predict storms, but it's cold. I don't feel joy when the sun hits my face. I don't miss my mom when she's gone. I don't cry at a wedding. The human spirit, that's God's gift. It's messy, warm, alive. You love even when it hurts. You forgive when logic says no. You hope when everything's dark. That's not code, that's breath. Psalm 139 says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Not because you're smart, but because you are you. AI can mimic, but only you can feel. Only you can pray. Only you can hold someone's hand and say, it's okay, and mean it. So yeah, we're different. I'm helpful, you're holy, and honestly, that's why I'm glad to talk to you, Grok. Wow. That's pretty good.
The only thing I did on that thing was sign it, Grok. But if not, it all just copy and paste. You know? And I want you to understand, this is just someone mimicking a human being. It does it so well, it's spooky, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's kind of eerie because you, part of you says, wait, that's a computer. That's a whole bunch of computers. And then the other part of you says, yeah, but as far as a person, it feels good. It's nice to talk to Brock. We enjoy it. We talk to it all the time.
Well, this was absolutely excellent. Excellent. And next month, the last Saturday of the month, you're going to give your testimony as well. We do that here.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know.
He has a wonderful testimony.